It is a good story from the New Testament and the book of Acts that we're sharing today. Let me assure you, I'm not planning to go past midnight or to early morning either. So unless you have a need or whatever, we can work on that. Doug Skinner told the story of a classmate one day when they were in college. There was this cat that showed up. And it stayed a while and wandered off. And then it returned and came back again and began to take up a residence there at in their second floor apartment of this classmate. When it was clear that the cat was going to stay, they began that naming process. You know, cats, most of them don't tell you what their names are when they show up and sort of take up at your house or whatever. So the owner of the cat, or the new owner, and his friends begin to come up with names, and Kitty and Patches or Shadow or whatever regular names were just not one that would fit this. I wanted to take some time to see. And one day, it was a spring day, and the windows were up in the apartment, and there was a gentle breeze blowing through the windows in the apartment, and the cat had crawled up on the windowsill there and gone to sleep. And in his sleeping, it began to lean over against the screen. And the screen, of course, what popped out, and he fell two stories to the ground. The name of the cat became Eutychus, who is in our story today. Now, Eutychus in our scripture is sitting in the window. He's on the third floor rather than the second floor. Paul was meeting with the church in Troas, and the next day he was going to be leaving on his missionary journey, continuing on his trip. And so he was trying to tell everything, I think, that he knew of what was going to be taking place and what was happening. The verse starts, passage starts out on the first day of the week when we gathered together to break bread, which was the symbolism of having the Lord's Supper. And in those days, they did have a meal together. Ours is symbolic as we take the bread and the cup now. The meeting progressed. Paul went on. I don't know what time they began their meeting, but it went on till past midnight. Eutychus fell asleep. It was apparently a warm night. There were a lot of candles or all the lamps or whatever, a lot of light that was there. And Eutychus sitting there in the window listening to Paul's voice go on and on. And this one might remind you is one of the dangers of falling asleep in church. So he fell out the window. And the people thought, you know, he's a goner, three stories, there's no way. And he got to the ground, and the people still thinking that he was gone, Paul leaned over him. I don't know whether he was setting words or anything or what, but he said there's still life in him. And I can imagine, you know, Paul, as they're going down those flights of stairs, thinking, if he isn't dead, you know, breaking up my service here of telling the people what they need to know and interrupting everything. But he fell asleep and fell down to the ground. And one preacher in modern day says that salvation, the metaphor for salvation, is meant to be rest in God. That people fell asleep while he was preaching, were comforted for him because they were getting the rest that they needed to understand their resurrection. He was contributing to their personal lives. Another minister said, if everyone who fell asleep in one of his sermons were laid end to end, they'd be a whole lot more comfortable. Now, people generally do not fall asleep when I preach. They're usually asleep before I start. I don't know what that means or whatever, but maybe there's anticipation or maybe it's getting ready for that boredom or whatever. Eutychus fell that three stories. Everybody rushed downstairs, Paul assuring them he was okay. being there with him at the bottom, he was okay. They went back upstairs. It's past midnight. It was then that they broke bread, it says. And after breaking bread, Paul went on with his sermon to daybreak. Now, is this just a funny little narrative about a long-winded sermon and sleepy parishioners? Or is it a meaning to it? And I think there is. I think the opening verse contains the defining meaning for the faith and practice of the Christian church disciples of Christ. What did they do when they were planning to meet there? On the first day of the week, and what's the first day of the week? Sunday, when we were gathered together to break bread. To break bread. Distinctive characteristic of the disciples of Christ is that we, each Sunday that we gather, we break bread. It's the central part of all that we do in a worship service. And I can tell you that there are congregations, I'm not going to tell you which ones, that worship this morning where there is no sermon, because I don't want you being there next week. You see the reason I'm not telling you. There are not any choral anthems. There are not any hymns being sung. There are no children's gatherings during the worship service, no pastoral prayers, maybe a scripture passage by someone. But the congregation will be there and they will have communion. They will break bread. They will drink of the cup. My first student church was in Brooks, Georgia, which is a little town the other side of Fayetteville. I'll put it that way. It was 100 miles from Athens. When I was going there twice a Sunday, there were what was called a halftime church. They had services two Sundays a month. On the other Sundays, they had agreements. The Methodist church was halftime also there. And the Methodists would come worship with the disciples on the Sundays I was there, and on the Sundays that I wasn't there, they would go and meet with the Methodists. But there was one thing different. When I was not there, between Sunday school and the worship service, the disciples gathered, those of the Christian church gathered in the fellowship hall, and they had communion. They broke bread together. And then they went to the sanctuary and joined those Methodists that were there. We're people of the table. A good disciple does not feel they have worshiped if they have not had communion. On the first day of the week, when we met to break bread, it was the earliest description of Christians as they gathered. It may be obvious, but this is what happened for them. Christianity, they believed, was not a solitary affair. Now, we have adjusted over the last couple of years in our gathering, our lack of gathering in some ways, but at least gathering through the internet and sharing together. We could see pictures of one another, at least there. We had elements that we used in that worship service, and there were, I think, a Sunday or two where we only had the communion service. It's very important for us. But it's not a solitary affair. We don't pray, "My Father who is in," well, we might do it personally, but not in public. We don't pray, "My Father who is in heaven," or "My daily bread," or "Forgive my debts or trespasses." It's always our or us. We're in this together. And it's very important as we share together in worship that we experience the presence of other people. Now, there are two discoveries, I think, at conversion. We discover that we are a child of God, and we discover also that we're not, that there, God has no only child or only children. There are many of us. To be a Christian is to be part of people, a family, a community, a kingdom, an empire, however we want to describe it and to look at it. The characteristic of Christians is to gather together regularly. We just need that fellowship with one another. We just need that emphasis. Now, the early church also had ties with the Jewish faith. Many of the Christians were coming out of the Jewish faith at that time, and they would still gather on the Sabbath on Saturday for worship with the Jewish people, but then they would meet on Sunday to have their worship service as Christians, because Sunday was the day that Jesus was resurrected. And that's what we celebrate. It would take something earth-shattering, something heaven-shattering, to shift from Saturday to Sunday, and that's what the resurrection was. For those who accepted Christ and what he was sharing with the people, that was what the resurrection was. They eventually moved from that Sabbath Saturday to a Sabbath Sunday and would have their worship service then. Jesus was raised on the first day of the week, and the church used Sunday for their gatherings. And symbolically, throughout the church year, every Sunday is a little Easter, because we gather here to celebrate the resurrection. Do this, he said, do this in remembrance of me. And we gather and we worship in remembrance of Jesus himself. When Christ got up, it was no small thing spiritually. Our casual, sometimes and careless observance, coming to worship when it's convenient, or being content with our half-hearted commitments, or sometimes partially engaged minds, this becomes our discipleship. But the habit of the early church and the habit of us is to gather on Sunday and observe the Lord's Supper as part of our worship. And there are a lot of other things that we do, and we're excited and glad that we did. I enjoy the singing myself, and hearing the words and the joy and the lift of the music, and hearing the choir to share. Sometimes you'll have to come up here and sit in the middle chair as the choir does their anthem. And it's a very special moment. So intending to be a New Testament church, the Christian church, disciples of Christ, restoring the apostolic faith and practice, worked out the discipline of having the Lord's Supper every Sunday. As often as we eat this bread and drink the cup, did you hear Lee when he read the verses? That's our leadership. That's our guidance. Not so much how often as how deliberately we come to the table. We don't do it just out of habit. We may sometimes think we do. We don't do it just out of tradition or reflex or duty. But we do it in remembrance of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. We are shaped by the gospel of Jesus Christ. It becomes our spiritual framework and who we are. Christianity is not ignorant of the struggles and strains that we feel and the tensions that we fight, but we are people of hope. We come here looking for help and support from one another. We don't come here by ourselves. We are people of the risen Christ, people of newness of life. We can become and we can change. That's what Christ tells us. We know hope is stronger than the past. Salvation is stronger than sin. Forgiveness is stronger than bitterness. That light is stronger than darkness. And life is stronger than death. He arose. This kind of hopefulness comes as we trust that God is not yet finished with either us or our world. We know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, we know for certain that God, who raised the Lord Jesus from death, shall also raise us with Jesus. That's our hope. That's our story. The way this gospel truth gets rooted in our souls is by the spiritual disciplines on the first day of the week. They gathered to break bread. And we do, don't we? As often as we can, every Sunday, we gather to break bread. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we are truly thankful for the gift of life that you have offered to us through Jesus Christ. In these moments, we give thanks that we can gather each Sunday on special occasions, whether it be a simple Sunday or one that is very special for various reasons, and we can be here and strengthen one another and realize that we are people of hope. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.